We want to do something a little bit different this morning before we come to communion. And we've entitled this, I think Pete's made a slide for, oh gosh, oh look, that's not the slide. Where's the slide? Oh my goodness. Can we come off that image? Okay. We've entitled this MCF, This Is Us. And for the next few minutes, and I think we've got just over 10, between 10 and 15 minutes, 15 minutes, to have a bit of an interview with somebody from MCF that maybe you know, you've met, you've had a little chat with before. But we're going to invite Chioma to come and join me up here. Looking very lovely in yellow. And so this is MCF, This Is Us. We're going to just have a few minutes of a bit of a chat. Her and I are going to chat together. You're shy. It's okay. We're going to be okay. Just keep looking at me and don't look at them. We're just going to ask, we've primed Chioma before this with a few questions, but just to kind of get a bit of an idea of where you're from. So my first question to you on MCF, This Is Us, can you tell me a bit about your background and what life was like for you growing up?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. My name is Chioma. Chioma is a Nigerian name. It means God is good. Mm. That's why I always like people to call me Chioma. Because in Nigeria, from just your name tells the story of where you're from, your religion, and possibly your gender. So from my name, I'm from the southeastern part of Nigeria, the Igbo tribe, and I'm a Christian. Growing up, I am the fourth of six children of my mom. Growing up was, we didn't have money, but we were very happy. We were raised by my mom and partly by my grandmom. And then I went to university. I went to secondary school, a Christian secondary school. So I've always been, I was born in a Christian home. I had a Christian mother who always prayed for us, especially at night. And I think most of growing up and my faith was based on what my mom taught us. My mom had absolute faith in God. And even till now, I feel like it's her prayers that have sustained me. And there's a scripture that she used to always say all the time. Because my dad died when we were very young, so it was just her raising us. But she had faith in God that she could do things. So she used to quote Psalm 37, I think, verse 25 a lot. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So growing up, my mom always said the scripture. So no matter what it was, she just told us that God would not forsake us, and we would never beg. And that's what it was. I go to church, Sunday school, but I found Christ. I gave my life to Christ on the 23rd of November, 1997. I was in boarding school. That just what we call JSS2, I think that should be equivalent to year 7?
First year at secondary school.
Secondary school.
So year 7, yeah.
That should be year 7, year so. Seven? I don't know. Year 7, year 8, but it was JSS2 in Nigeria. So I gave my life to Christ, and God has been with me since then. There's been a lot of challenges, which I'll probably talk about at some point, but my faith has been rock solid based on the Christian background of my mom and grandmom.
What was the encounter that led you to, because obviously growing up in a Christian family, you had all that background, but what was that moment when you said, actually, you know, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give my life to him?
Yeah, it was a certain night. So we had, it was a boarding school, a Christian boarding school, so everything was Bible, but I don't think we're quite young, so I'm not sure if other people had a personal encounter, but I remember that night, someone was celebrating their birthday. Her name was Anne, so she was celebrating her birthday, and then all of a sudden, someone said manifesting like they were, I don't know what was wrong with them, and then our host their mistress started praying for, we're all scared because we're little girls, so we're all scared, and then she started praying for the girl. We were just standing and looking because we didn't know what to do. And then after that, she said, it's only Jesus that can protect you when you are scared in this kind of situation. And then she asked us if we wanted to give our life to Christ. And some of us said yes. So for the first time, I said that prayer, and it meant something. And then she said, she didn't just lead us to Christ. She kept talking to us weekly and then made us read the Bible. So somehow I could see the change. I could then read my Bible. I could then pray. I could then preach to people. When I went back home during the holiday, I carried my Bible and went on the streets to pray, to preach to people. So that was that experience. And I still remember it. And since then, I've had moments where my faith has been up and down, but I still remember that day, and Christ has not forsaken me.
Amen. So just for those of you that are interested, what was the psalm again, in case anybody wanted to write that down?
I think it's Psalm 37, verse 25.
Psalm 37, verse 25.
25, yes.
So looking back, what's one key thing that you've learned in your journey with God? Obviously, as a small child, secondary school age child, you gave your life to Jesus. But what is one thing that you think about God when, as you look back?
Like I said before, my faith has gone up and down, but one thing has remained constant. God loves me, and he sees me no matter what it is. So my mom sadly passed away just after secondary school, and it was very painful. At that point, I turned away from God. It's not like I stopped going to church, but I just felt, I've had enough. I can't do this with you. But he found me again in dreams through so many stories I can't talk about. And then again, just recently. So at every point in my life, that constant love, his love is constant. That's what I know. No matter what it is, no matter what happens, he sees me. He knows me as an individual, not just in a group. So just recently, last year, my brother passed away suddenly. And it was a very, very big blow to my faith and to everything. So I questioned God. And I said, I've known you and you've allowed this to happen. We're going to have a conversation if I really want to do this with you. And he didn't talk to me the way I wanted. I stopped coming to church from October to March. I didn't come to church. And but on the 1st of January, I know him. I know that I don't have anywhere to go. It is him that I know. So I know that I'm not leaving him, but we need to define that relationship. So on the 1st of January, I wanted to get a Bible study where I would read the Bible through the year. So I wanted something that I was grieving. So I wanted a Bible plan where I would read the Bible chronologically. So I had a lot of options. I looked at them. And then I chose a particular one. I think on the 10th of January, I was hoping to continue in the book of Genesis. And then somehow it was the book of Job. And then I was like, what are we doing in Job? I thought it was chronological. But I had already started and I really wanted to do it. So I continued reading the book of Job. And that was when I found out that was God wanting to pull me out of that grief. So when I studied the book of Job, I saw that Job was going through the pain I was going through. And in fact, my pain was nothing compared to that. And then, you know, if you've studied the book of Job and his friends had those conversations, and God didn't say anything until the final chapters. And then when God spoke to Job, then that was God speaking to me and then telling me that he's in charge of my life, in charge of the universe. Yes, I wasn't still convinced. I didn't still come to church. So in March, on a Sunday morning, my husband and kids had come to church. I was at home. alone, and then someone came to visit me, a friend that I hadn't seen since last year. And then she came in and she said, "Why are you not in church?" I said, "I don't go to church anymore." And then she said, "God asked me to come see you." So she sat down on the chair, and then she told me she had a list of what God had told her to tell me, and she didn't even know what I was going through. So she said, she told me, "God says, I see you. I know what is happening. I let it happen. So you can't run away from me. You need to go back to church, because you cannot forsake the gathering of the brethren. There is someone that needs to hear your story and be encouraged. I'm standing at the door of your heart. Don't do this. So you need to come back." And then when she left, I said, "God, what is this? So you're seeing me. You sent someone to answer my questions." I knelt down and prayed, and I surrendered myself to him. And on that day, I made another decision to say, "I'm going to stick with you. One, because I want to make heaven, and I need to see this God face to face and ask him, why do we have this sort of relationship?" But as my husband would say, when you get to heaven, you'll be so overjoyed that you can't even remember all of these things. So what was that one thing? That one thing is that God knows us. He sees us. He loves us. No matter what it is you're going through, he's there. So that's it.
Wow. Wow. I just want to ask you one more question, and then we're going to pray for your family and for you. What advice, when you look back, what advice would you give your younger self as you look back at the child growing up and the child in secondary school and the ambitions? And what advice, if you could, would you give that younger Chioma?
Never doubt God's love for you.
Never doubt God's love for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And if there's one thing that you want to say to MCF this morning, what would it be?
It's still the same thing. Never doubt it. The love is there. It is constant. It's independent of what you're going through. You need to embrace it. And the things that happen to you cannot be compared to the massive God has for you. Hold on to that love, and he will never let you go. I know it for sure.
Amen. Amen. Chinedu, can you join us? I wonder if we could pray for Chioma and Chinedu and the girls. They've gone off to kids' club.